Welcome one and all to another day here at The Damage Report. A Friday, blessed Friday. It couldn't have come soon enough. It really could have come sooner, but it's here now, and that's good news. But that's not the only good news we have today. We have something special for you. I know you cruised into a Friday expecting Brett Ehrlich to be here, and you were probably fine with it. But no, we've got something much better. A co-host joining us for the first time ever on The Damage Report, stand-up comedian, actor, and writer, River Butcher. Welcome to The Damage Report.
Oh my God, hello. Thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here. Just what a great day for a first time, you know?
Exactly. What great news and what great people just being awesome.
Everybody's just doing cool stuff right now. So I'm just happy to cruise through this conversation with just only positive vibes, John.
Only the best vibes. Look, I can manifest positive vibes. They will just be wholly disconnected from reality.
That's right. Yes. We will have to dig a little bit. There's definitely positive vibes out there, but
So some people watching, I can see people already in the chat on multiple platforms right now, might remember that we last spoke on the Pride special just not long ago. But for people who might not have seen, you know, the great deal of work you've done on comedy specials and live events and podcasts and all of that, you want to tell people a little bit about what you do?
Oh, sure. I'm a stand-up comedian, as you said, actor and writer. I've worked on a bunch of stuff. I was an actor on Adam Ruins Everything. I made my own show a while back on the streaming platform CISO, if anybody remembers that. If you do, I thank you for your service. I was also recently on the show Good Trouble. So if you recognize me, it's probably from that. Because I get very recognized for that show. A lot of people watch that show. It's super fun show. So that's what I've been working on lately. Yep.
That's awesome. It's always weird referring back to shows that are on platforms that aren't around anymore.
I did a
documentary series, which nobody would know. But more importantly, they probably have never even heard of Verizon Go 90, the platform that it was on.
John,
was
you on know so I briefly. Did.
Yeah.
You know, I remember people pitching stuff to that.
Really?
Cool. Oh, yeah. I mean, comedians are just like, whatever you've got, I'll get on it. I don't mind. whatever.
Nice. Well, look, I'm already seeing comments coming in. Holly Todd says, I heart your comedy, River. Please come to Phoenix.
I will do my best, yes.
Maybe, yeah. And Jay Garfield says, "Wah!" River Butcher on Damage Report. Hell yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you to all of you out in the audience for sending us those messages. But I will require more from you. I will require that you hit the like button, assuming you're on a platform that has such a thing. That'll help people get notifications and know that we're live. And all of that, because we are gearing up for a big old show. Not only are we going to be giving you updates on the apparently attempted assassination attempt against Pramila Jayapal, not great updates there. A whole bunch on the anti-abortion push. They've got next steps. Oh, don't worry, they've got some next steps coming. Joe Manchin remains the absolute worst. And then we've got a reappearance of Kenny Klippenstein's work on the show. So we'll be getting into that. Great reporting for The Intercept. That'll be coming up if you're watching the extended show. But with all that said, River, are you ready to get into this thing?
Oh my God, let's get into it.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's do it.
This week, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was harassed as she tried to enter the Capitol. It was disgusting stuff that literally everyone can condemn. It's a minimum bar that, of course, the right couldn't meet. Take a look at this.
The left, this whole episode is perfectly emblematic of the left. The left is incredibly vicious when attacking anybody who disagrees with them or stands in their way in any way. But when they are confronted with any kind of even mild affront like this, they immediately retreat into victimhood, right? So I'm not saying that this guy should have been doing this. He should not have been doing this. But she immediately takes to social media and she begins whining about the fact that he was catcalling her and the Capitol Police didn't do their job and so on. It is a cult of victimhood that the left just languishes in and luxuriates in. And, you know, I gotta say, if she was offended by this particular incident, Jesse, she and the left could not survive 5 minutes of what Donald Trump or Clarence Thomas or anybody on the right goes through all day, every day for years.
Okay, people love to say that the right doesn't get comedy, but that last comment was actually pretty funny. I appreciate that from Monica Crowley. I also appreciate being told that I, as a leftist, dwell in a cult of victimhood from a person on a network that will constantly remind you that no one suffers more racial discrimination than white people. No one suffers more religious discrimination than Christians. It's really, really tough to be cis and straight, and especially if you're wealthy. Those are the people who are real victims. But here, AOC, who probably has to think at least once or twice a day if this is the day that she'll be physically assaulted or sexually assaulted by the deranged masses that love to consume Fox News. She's the one who is being a victim after the harassment that she suffered. River, what do you think about this?
I mean, I just, like you said, John, it was like, you can't write comedy like that at the end. I didn't know which way she was gonna go. For a moment, I thought she was gonna say they wouldn't last 5 minutes in Afghanistan or something, like on a, you know, like that's what I felt like she was gonna go with it, because that was when she was talking about being a, when AOC was talking about being a server and how difficult that was one of their favorites. Hilarious to then dwell and luxuriate in their own victimhood to prove their point. It's just hilarious to me, and also the sort of the setup of like, I'm not saying he should have been doing this. She's way worse. Her reaction to being harassed is way worse, which is just such a consistent conservative view of like, yeah, we shouldn't do that. But your response is way worse than what's actually happening to you. It's like 100%. Just classic conservative gaslighting.
Yeah, so we're not gonna show the video again, but it was a weirdo creep who decided to stalk AOC and shout sexual things at her. He calls himself a comedian, and technically anyone can do that. Anyone can call themselves a comedian.
And I'm not a comedian. They do. They certainly do.
Yeah, I couldn't detect any comedy there. It felt like the only objective was not humor. It was to make AOC feel constantly as if she is constantly at risk of being assaulted, murdered, or raped. That is the overall goal that they're going for there. He was a tool this particular week in doing that. Crowley, of course, knows that. She's a woman in politics, in media. I have no doubt that considering the hell world we live in, she suffers harassment. Sexual harassment, threats, and those sorts of things. Any woman with a high profile will. And yet, she referred to the sexual harassment as, quote, verbal mentions. People love to say that Twitter isn't the real world. I would add the corollary. The real world isn't Twitter. They're not verbal mentions. It was yelled harassment, and said she took that as an affront. By the way, he yelled out that she was my favorite big booty Latina who wants to kill babies. Because the only thing that makes sexual harassment better is the implication that the person you're harassing, you consider to be some sort of immoral criminal, just to get a little bit of physical threat into the sexual threat there. The issue, of course, River, is that AOC wasn't offended by this.
Right.
It's not offense. It's stalking and the threat of violence, the constant threat of violence. She wasn't aggrieved about it. She doesn't want to be killed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny just the levels of diminishment from Crowley, as though like to move the goalposts and pretend this is like, oh, this guy's just taking Twitter to the streets, which even if you like believe that is bad. You know, like, because Twitter has created this, you know, anonymous space where people can say things that they wouldn't normally say in real life. And now additionally, the reverse has happened, which is then you go into real life and you have this powerful thing that you've been doing, and you do it in real life and suffer no repercussions because you're a dude yelling at a woman who's a leftist, and like not protected by the cops, of course, you know, on the Capitol steps. It's like, and the fact that she's pointing it out, it's like it never stops for her, you know, and it never stops for women particularly. It's like it happens to you, you say something, and then you're punished for saying something, as though there's some way that you could have done it better. Like, if you wouldn't have walked there that day, then he wouldn't have found you, and it would, you know, you shouldn't have worn that dress, and you should have walked this way, you should have gotten away faster or been nicer to him, or like, and then you should just keep it to yourself. It's like there's never a way that you can actually do it right. And so that's what I respect about AOC, is that she doesn't try to do that. She just tries to do what she believes is right for each situation.
Yeah. I respect that too. I worry, like, she's talked previously about, like, everyone assumes, oh, she wants to be in politics her whole life. And she's been very clear in interviews. She has no idea if she wants to, because of how draining and grating and depressing it all is. And that, of course, is the goal. They want to drive her out of politics. This is why they harass actors and comedians and all of that. They love to talk about cancel culture briefly before they resume trying to end people's careers and make sure that they don't feel safe and comfortable, whether in social media or literally just walking around to get to their job. That's what this is about. Right. Yeah. And as River said, the threats are constant. Last year, the Department of Justice charged a Texas man who allegedly stormed the Capitol on January 6th and threatened to kill AOC on social media. Last year, Representative Paul Gosar, literally one of her colleagues, tweeted an anime clip of him murdering her. And earlier this year, a Florida man pleaded guilty to threatening to kill her and Speaker Nancy Pelosi. That's what they want, but she's the bad guy. And not just on Jesse Waters' show last night, on Outnumbered, they're still talking about it. AOC slams her own harassment, but not Kavanaugh's, implying that she is not considering those to be the same thing. And I would say, you know why she's not considering those to be the same thing? Because they're not the same thing.
They're not even in the same ballpark.
There was no threat of sexual violence against Brett Kavanaugh. He literally never even saw the protesters.
It was a candlelight vigil of his own neighbors, people who actually know him. Like, it's so very different. It's incredible to me. And like, this honestly goes back to childhood, like, literally, we talked about bullying for so long, and now we don't really talk about it anymore. At least not as much as we used to. But it's such a classic, at least in my experience, like, childhood bullying move for this bully to be like just constantly messing with people and pushing them and pushing them and pushing them. And then finally somebody fights back, and then the bully's like dad or mom or parent comes in and is like, you guys are treating my kid like, you know, it's like that classic thing of like tit for tat. And like, there just isn't like that. You can't compare one person stalking another person to 50 neighbors having a candlelight vigil outside of a justice's house quietly.
Yeah.
You know, like, but they love
being near a restaurant.
That's right. That is the conservative viewpoint, is they will create the terms for everything. Like, we are constantly debating on their terms as opposed to presenting our own, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and we're consistent. If these comments, and we'll get to this a bit more, but if these comments were against a Republican lawmaker, we wouldn't think they're acceptable. If somebody's protest against Kavanaugh was literally just walking around him and yelling about his penis, I wouldn't support that either. But consistency is a thing that we value. They don't care about it. They're not interested. We do have to get into even worse territory here, starting with this video.
Great. So AOC, who was very upset, you know, you're a comedian, you're doing what you do, saying things are actually quite the compliments.
I was complimenting. She's Jenny from the block. I mean, J-Lo is known for her voluptuous derriere. And all I was trying to do is say, you look great. I don't know why. And I'm in Texas and you're in Georgia, so we have Southern hospitality.
Right.
That's how we talk. You're a beautiful lady. You are a very beautiful lady. And I don't mean that anything sexual. I'm just saying, I'm just commenting on your beauty. I don't think that for me is some sort of negative thing. But they live in a society where compliments are bigotry and based
they
in racism
are.
And hate.
It is. It's terrible.
Marjorie Greene, who, of course, as we've been talking about, has certainly faced her own harassment, her own threats, whether physical or sexual, thinks it's hilarious for a random guy to show up and to shout sexual comments about AOC's ass. She thinks that that's just awesome. She thinks that's, more importantly, acceptable. She thinks that's how we should treat people we disagree with. We should follow them around and make them feel like we might kill them or rape them at any moment. That's what we should do, River.
Yeah, I think this it's so appropriate to have Marjorie Taylor Greene weighing in on this, because she to me is so emblematic of the culture of womanhood, and I'm being very specific with my language there. on the right, the hyper conservative right, that like, yes, women should just be on the subservient level and willing to, hey, yes, harassment is a, it's just a compliment, chill out. Like, women on the right are just supposed to just be sort of dragged around in this like unsafe space so that then, oh, these men are gonna protect you from them though, is the thing. Mm-hmm. Like this constant, so you should just, a random person that you do not know, not a person that you have ever seen before in your life, yelling about your body is a compliment. You know, like it's, yeah, it's such a derangement to me of like what they believe, where they believe their position is in society, and that sure, is what all women should be. They should be grateful for that, you know. Like women should be grateful to get a compliment from across the street, which is like your body, you know. Like
exactly,
nobody wants to be, no matter what your gender is, I can safely say no one wants to be yelled at from across the street, you know. It just, it's I shouldn't say no one, I have a good friend who has a bit about wanting that. You know, like on a regular basis, it's just so unsettling. And it's unsettling to me, like how much the right still pushes this idea, yeah, that that's what women deserve.
Yeah. And look, she knows, Marjorie Greene doesn't want that. And she shouldn't face that. I will stupidly have consistent principles,
of course,
for those I agree with and those I don't agree with. She would not, she would freak out, and the right wing will freak out. If it happens tomorrow, by the way, which I hope that it doesn't, she will freak out, rightfully so. Fox News will leap to her defense. The clear immediate hypocrisy will of course be ignored because they don't consider hypocrisy to be a bad thing. They don't consider being actively lied to be a bad thing. He said there, and we're not showing him purposely because I don't give a damn who he is, and I hope that he gets no clout out of this. I don't care, he can go back to being a disgusting rando and a creep. And until eventually he's locked up, because in his pursuit to get the right to like him, he is going to keep pushing boundaries until eventually he gets arrested for breaking laws. So that's my prediction. Anyway, him saying it's just a compliment, and she laughs, mm-hmm, but they know that it's not. But like we have to grapple with how little they care about. He's not telling that to me, because why would I be watching the show? He's telling that to conservatives, mm-hmm, and they will laugh. Because they know that it's not true. The truth, lies, it's all just whatever's convenient. AOC's evil, so you can do anything you want to her. Marjorie Greene is good, and so she must be protected, even in the exact same circumstance. You mm-hmm. become open to these threats because you're an evil leftist. I want to play just a little bit more of the video though, and then we'll get back into it.
Yeah.
But in our, how we feel in our culture, where we believe in, two genders.
Yeah, male, no, there's 17 female. Actually now.
No. That's what some people say.
I know, it's insane.
But no, it's. I think women should be confident. And if a man gives you a compliment, a woman can say thank you. That's a good thing. Say thank you. Or, you know, if she's going up the stairs and someone's yelling stuff at her, she can just wave and go on and not go into full outrage.
Mm-hmm. That's what she really believes. That's what she would, that's the standard she would apply to herself. That's how she really feels, because that's who she is. She's a woman who apparently really believes that. In the same way that the guy she's talking to is a comedian, and you can tell because when she made the joke about two genders, he came up with something no one had ever said before and said, no, there's 17.
17.
That's why he's a comedian.
Yeah, that's why he's a comedian.
Why can't you come up with funny original stuff like that, River? That there's 17. And someone's going to identify as an attack helicopter.
That's the perfect number, is 17 genders. I mean, of course she leads off with, we believe in our culture, which is also like ding, 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 hello, whistle, dog whistle going off. Because that is, you know, this kind of behavior from the right, and saying like, this is how women should accept men's behavior. Like, to me, I'm like, this can be gendered behavior, but it's also like, this is just bad behavior. You can take the gender out of it, and like, anyone should not have to be subjected to this. I see a person in Marjorie Taylor Greene who wants so badly to be accepted, so badly to be accepted and protected, that she's mm-hmm. willing to do anything, which is to just like throw anybody away. I mean, I also think it's important to acknowledge that women hardcore participate and uphold the patriarchy, and she is a great example of that. But I see a person who likely was not accepted into like the very thin margin of femininity, and it has now gotten that window in there and is just pulling the ladder up and is just in there and willing to throw anybody under the bus to hang on to the amount of like power and interest that she's gained out of all of this, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I'm gonna play one more very brief clip here, which is it's about a different topic. They somehow tried to make it related. I'm gonna play this because I want you to see her reaction to this thing that's said. Remember, she is still technically a congressperson. She doesn't do any work. She literally hosts a podcast like every day. That's my job. I'm not a politician. Like, she has constituents. All she does is talk to trolls. That's what she does. And when they make certain comments, take a look at how she responds.
Literally the greatest summer ever of George Floyd, RIP. I think he's 2 years sober now. But what I want to say is a good thing about George Floyd is.
Did you get the joke there from the comedian? Because George Floyd brutally murdered. He's now sober because he's the bad guy. The innocent man who was needlessly killed by a cop is worthy of mockery. She didn't rebut it. She just gave her little smile and looked at the camera. The congresswoman, he's not a criminal. Like, even in their own twisted racist conception of the world, it's not supposed to be about him being the evil one. They're supposed to pretend that all the protesters are the evil ones. But this guy has to go beyond it because George Floyd is, lest we forget, black. And so he's evil and he must be mocked for his murder. It never ends. It really never ends with these people.
I'm honestly surprised by her reaction. Like, I have to be totally honest that obviously I'm not in her mind, but that looks like a person who that looks like that was a bridge too far for her, which is wild.
Oh, you think so?
It looked like it, and I could be totally wrong. I could be being a little too generous, but the fact that she didn't say anything in agreement to that, you know, like the way she sort of like looks away from, look at that. But that, I mean, speaks to, I don't know, that doesn't look like a person that agrees to me. But
she's a grown ass politician.
I know
she could say something.
She can. I'm not diminishing that. And I was going to say, like, that is the difference to me between the left and the right, is they will get in bed with whoever they can to get anything they want. Like, they don't care. That goes back to what I was originally saying, is like her willingness to be accepted by the people that she sees have the power, you know, in whatever situation that is. And that is it to me, to watch that happen, to realize like, oh, this is too far for me, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, you know, like, it doesn't matter because this guy saying that is gonna get me something, you know, like, this is not, I'm not trying to give her a super generous read on that, but I am surprised that she didn't go down the road with him on that.
Yeah, look, I will say, even if I accept what you're saying, I don't think you should give her any kind of a generous read.
No, I'm not.
Let's say that you're right. So it wasn't that she agreed, but that she would say that she's this strong figure. She's a congresswoman. She has like so many followers. Then if you're right, she knows that if she corrects him, they'll hate it. Mm-hmm. She is scared. Like, let's say that's actually, she feels a thing that was wrong to say, but she is so scared of losing the tenuous grasp that she has on power and respect among these deranged people that she can't say anything. What a terrible life
Precisely.
To live.
That's what
you cannot
that's
speak your value.
What I'm saying, like, afraid of losing like his followers or something, you know what I mean? Or afraid of losing the people that disagree with you when in that moment. It's terrible. It's an awful, awful road to go down.
Yeah. Okay, we are gonna have to take our first break. When we come back, we got a lot more to talk about though. So don't anyone go anywhere. We'll be back after this. Okay, you would think that following the destruction of Roe v. Wade, the right might like take a week or two off, but no, full steam ahead on destroying even more of your rights. And they've got a few creative ideas in that area. Let's take a look at this.
Well, let's be clear about the problem, because it is real and it is imminent. Conservative legal organizations are right now drafting legislation to ban travel for abortion. It was discussed at two anti-abortion conferences already. Republican Texas legislators are saying out loud they are working with the National Association of Christian Lawmakers to draft bills restricting travel modeled after their barbaric vigilante abortion ban.
And indeed, state legislatures are, but let's be clear, it's not just them. And let's be clear, the Republicans lied to you saying, oh no, we don't want to end reproductive rights. We just want to throw it back to the states. Let the people decide. It's a democratic thing. If your state doesn't like it, then they'll outlaw it. If they do like it, it'll be free. You'll be free. That's what democracy is about. Except you're not free and they don't want you to be free. If you were to leave their barbaric states to go to a place that respects your rights, the rights you've had for longer than you've been alive, they want to criminalize that. They want punishment against you because it was never about giving it up to the states. It was about taking away rights. And this is the level that they can do it now. But if they can ban it nationally, they will. If they can lock you up if you cross state borders, they will. State legislatures are working that. And in fact, US Senator James Lankford just objected to Democrats' efforts to pass by unanimous consent the Freedom to Travel for Healthcare Act of 2022. That's what Patty Murray was talking about in that clip. This bill would have made clear that patients can cross state lines for abortion care and empower the US Attorney General and affected individuals to take legal action against those who attempt to restrict that right. That sort of fundamental right that you cannot be bound by state law when you're not even in that state. Doesn't make any sense. It's clearly not constitutional, but we don't have a democracy and we barely have a Supreme Court at this point. And so it will be whatever they have the power to make it, River. That's my fear.
That's right. I mean, they want to define everything. That's ultimately their goal, is that they will define why you're traveling, why it's illegal, why you're a criminal. Basically, everyone is a criminal to the Republicans who's not a Republican. Basically, if you're not a Republican, you're a criminal. That is like the binary that they believe in. And so they're essentially working to criminalize every aspect of daily life, you know, because like the thing about criminalizing travel for abortion, restricting all these things and kicking it back to the states is A, they've gerrymandered most states, even blue states, and they're working on taking over the blue states as we speak through varying methods that are very terrifying that most people are not paying attention to, literally creating community centers for youth and bringing them in to try to diversify their votes, like attracting Latino, black youth and like peddling them information so that they will vote Republican. They are, just think about the implications of a state like California, I don't know, potentially passing universal healthcare and then criminalizing travel to that state to receive any type of healthcare. That to me is that's what this is the beginning of. It's also, they've been doing this with trans healthcare for years. And so they're essentially making it, you know, like, unless you're one of us, you don't get to travel throughout I had friends who were pulled over literally in Texas the moment they crossed the border because they have California plates. Mm-hmm. And their ID was checked and they don't have a real ID yet. And the police officer was like, this is useless to me. So it's basically like you cross the border into a scary state, you know, like an unfriendly state, and they're like, papers, please.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You think you're just crossing a state border, but it's basically another country and it's certainly another decade.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so it has never been the case that one state gets to restrict the rights of what people do when they're not in that state. That's not how government works at all. Government is based on territory, or at least it's supposed to. But again, this isn't about the Constitution. This is about anything. This is about oppression. Mm-hmm. They like it. They want more of it. It's the only thing that they can offer to their base, is the idea that the people they've been trained to hate and fear will suffer even more then these Republican politicians make their own base suffer. And this is not the only way. I mean, if they can lock you up or massively fine you for getting healthcare in a different state, When they inevitably outlaw birth control, which they will try to do, what's to stop them from searching your car when you drive back into the state and confiscating your contraband condoms? No, this is what they're working towards. And I'm gonna skip ahead a little bit because it's getting even more disgusting. Not only are right-wing groups trying to stop you from traveling to exercise rights that still exist in some states that are acting right. Texas is fighting the Biden administration for the recent executive order, which doesn't even do much. All it says is, if you are in danger of dying and an abortion is the only thing that would stop you from dying, an emergency room has to treat that emergency. Well, they don't like that. The attorney general is trying to stop that. Bear in mind, by the way, that Texas has an exemption for the life of the parent in that case. So this isn't even about how are you can't impose that on Texas. It's consistent with Texas law, which means there's only a couple of options of why you would go about this, why you would go about fighting this. Either it ain't about Texas at all, and this is just about them raising something that can go to the Supreme Court so they can get it knocked down. That's a likely possibility. Or it implies that Texas has that exemption now, but perhaps won't sometime in the near future. And this executive order would be inconvenient in that case, River.
I think, John, that it implies both of what you're talking. They will do both. And then some third option that we haven't even thought of yet, you know. And I think that, and we'll get into this a little bit later with the exemption idea, is that the exemption is there to me, my opinion on this is that they sometimes include exemptions to convince bipartisanship, you know, like because Democrats will fall for that. Because if they include the exemption, oh, well, there's some morality to it, you know, but the reality is it's unethical. It has nothing to do with morals, you know, number one. The other side of that is that they are the ones who decide what is an exemption and what is not. They are the ones who create the terms again. And so when they say this is an exemption, but they're not, but it's not gonna apply, then what's the point? You know what I mean? Like the law to them is incredibly flexible unless it is being wielded against somebody else. And then it is not. It is the ultimate.
Yeah, the fundamental truth is that they know that the things they want to do are not popular and are not going to become popular. They still want to do it. And so they do things like these exemptions that they don't philosophically believe in as a short-term politically pragmatic thing to do. If you believe that abortion is murder, it makes no sense whatsoever to have exemptions for rape or for incest. Arguably, maybe for saving the life of the mother, this would, to get rid of those exemptions would be consistent. It would be horrifying. It should never be allowed, but it would be consistent with how horrifying they are. But bear in mind, again, there are even more steps they want to go past. Again, knowing that this is not popular. They want to end IVF. Couples that can't necessarily conceive through the normal mechanisms can get scientific help in doing so. They want to end that. Bear in mind, that's a thing to have a kid that you couldn't have. They say that's their goal, but they want to end that too. Rebecca Parma is the senior legislative associate for Texas Right to Life and says, ultimately, we believe that all human life is valuable, except for migrants, let them die, except for criminals, the state can kill them. She didn't say that stuff, but I can tell that it was in her head. And it deserves our legal protection from that beginning moment of fertilization, whether that occurs through normal means or through IVF. And so certainly we want those embryos who are created through the IVF process protected. I don't think it's something that's gonna happen next legislative session because obviously IVF is something that is part of our culture and something that I think is pretty near and dear to a lot of people who desire families and desire children. All that means is I don't think that we can do this now because like it's horrifying and people don't want it, but I want it. I want more control. I say how you get pregnant. I misread this ancient text. And so I say how you get to have a kid or whether you're forced to have a kid, whether the state can literally chain you to a hospital bed and force you to give birth to the child of your father's rape of you as a 10-year-old. I say that. I get that it's not popular. We've tried to convince people of our position for more than 50 years and we're still repugnant. Nobody wants us. But I say what goes because this is not a democracy. That's their position, all of it.
Yeah, they want complete and absolute control over what does and doesn't happen. I also think specifically about IVF definitely has some roots in their homophobic and transphobic push. And they're probably willing to wait on IVF because as soon as they turn over Obergefell and all the other like legislation that passed to allow, you know, civil rights for queer people, they will then go after IVF. Yeah. Because IVF is obviously used by everyone. It is not like a queer specific procedure. However, if you are queer and you want to like have children outside of adoption, that's your typical route, you know, these days. And so it makes sense to me that to me is probably a large thread of why they don't want that. But I mean, it is just a derangement. It is a derangement syndrome to believe that embryos are I don't even know how to explain like something. I mean, we were given this opportunity, you know, it's an opportunity that we were given and you can just leave people alone. You know, it's like you were saying this, reading this text. It's like, I will say the first commandment is thou shalt have no other gods before me. And I will tell you that abortion is their god. They are, this is all they care about. They care more about abortion than actual God, you know, like, and they don't see that though, because they're so sure of what they believe in, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And they don't care about the actual biblical position on abortion. They're not interested in it.
No. And they don't care about the human person, the mother, the parent. They do not care about that life because you said something about, you know, if you believe that abortion is murder, you might care about, you know, if the life of the mother, they do not, even in that situation, that life is over, you know, that life does not exist. And it's wild to me.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And I'm glad that you mentioned, you know, that obviously a wide range of people use them, but there are certain groups that obviously they don't want to be able to conceive under any circumstances. So thank you for adding that. We're gonna jump into our C block. Let's start with this.
Why'd you delete the tweet?
Well, because we learned that this illegal alien did this heinous crime. So we deleted the tweet.
Did you apologize to the girl and the family for suggesting it was a lie?
Never doubted the child. I was responding to a headline from your profession, the news profession, which happens all the time on Twitter. Doubted Joe Biden, which is usually a smart thing to do.
Yeah, no, that's not true at all, Jim Jordan. You said that the story about the 10-year-old who was raped and had to flee her own state because the state was going to force her to give birth to that product of rape, you said it was fake. Did you really care? Probably not. I don't think you care about anything that actually happens, but your inclination was to say that it was fake, to reassure all of your followers that it was a lie, that the lefties were pushing this, that Biden was pushing it to politicize abortion. You said that it was fake. You were wrong. You were dead wrong. And it matters that you were wrong. So all that we would ask is that you be a human, you be an adult, and you own up to the fact that you're wrong. But of course, he's not, and he doesn't care. He will never take stock of the mistakes he's made in his life, whether it's casting doubt on that story or not doing the like minimal ethical obligation that he had back when he was working at a university to protect the student athletes there from sexual assault. He failed in both of those cases. He is a massive failure, and it's terrible for America that he holds elected office. River, what do you think?
I mean, yeah, it's stunning to me. And consistent with all the things that we're talking about with these conservative elected officials, supposedly elected officials, how he did the classic doublespeak of, I never doubted the child, I doubted the headline. Mm-hmm. And like how those two things cannot live in the same, you can't hold those exactly. Two things at the same time. Like I believe in holding many, many things, thoughts, feelings, but you can't say, you can't dig into that publicly, you know. There, you can't dig into and create this massive story of your own and saying this is fake and it's being politicized, and then just go, oh, well, I don't doubt the child. That you can't. Yeah. It's gaslighting. He's gaslighting. You know, like that's like public gaslighting of like, yeah, no, I I totally believe the child, but not Joe Biden. Like, what are we talking about?
You know, like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, especially coming from someone who, yes, covered up years of horrific sexual abuse at a major university.
100%. Yeah. Yeah.
Of male students. Like, we don't often talk about that either. And it's like, I think that is like a major, the fact that he covered that up and people aren't paying attention to it is just very sad to me that he's in public office.
Yeah, and the fact that the right doesn't care about that, it's similar to the thing where they'll actively support the whole QAnon thing for literally years, but then like the Jeffrey Epstein doesn't interest them, Matt Gaetz doesn't interest them, when it's actually happening doesn't interest them. Men's rights guys.
It's a compliment.
Yeah, exactly. Men's rights guys will constantly say, why are we focusing so much on women being sexually assaulted? Men are sexually assaulted too. Okay, well, some of those men were sexually assaulted. Do you want justice? No, you don't. You like hypotheticals. You're not interested in the real world. Let's be clear.
Distraction
about
from the issue at hand. It's just like, I just don't want to talk about what you want to talk about. And I refuse to listen. Exactly. And then when you bring up the thing that they're saying is never talked about, they're like, well, I don't actually want to talk about it. I just want you to shut up.
Exactly. Yep. It's all convenient.
Yep.
Okay, with that, we're going to jump into our last break of the first hour. So everybody stick around. We'll be back in just a few. Okay, everybody. Let's dive into what you knew was going to be my favorite topic of the day with this. Joe Manchin will not be satisfied until we are all simultaneously on fire. And the prospect that the federal government would do literally anything to even slow down, let alone reverse climate change, is unacceptable to him. And so he has, according to Axios, closed the door on a climate, energy, and tax package, but remains open to a much smaller bill that focuses on deficit reduction, prescription drug reform, and funding for healthcare subsidies, according to people familiar with the matter. Look, them doing prescription drug reform or healthcare subsidies seem great, and thus there is no chance whatsoever that he will actually support those things. How many times can the football be put out in front of you and you go to kick it before you realize that he's gonna pull it back? The important point is that he doesn't want anything to be done on climate. He wants to focus on deficit reduction. The issue I have with that is that deficits aren't why we won't be able to grow food in the near future. They're not the reason all of California is simultaneously on fire right now. They're not the deficits aren't causing record-breaking heat waves in China and Japan right now. Florida is not going to sink below the ocean because of deficits. The deficit might be an issue and we can and should deal with it. But a little bit of perspective, prioritizing your issues would be nice, River. But what do you think?
I mean, here's the thing, John, about the deficit versus climate change. Climate change is a real thing that's happening that you can actually experience with your actual body, your eyes, your ears, you know. The deficit is made up. And therefore, even the amount that we need to deal with it is a made up thing. It's imaginary and we all just agree about that it exists. As opposed to climate change, which regardless of whether we agree it exists or not, exists and is gonna keep happening unless we do something about it. And Joe Manchin is just the worst CEO, just the worst board member in the government, you know, and he wants to do to West Virginia what he did to West Virginia to the rest of the country. And as somebody who has family in West Virginia and is partially from there, I don't wish that on anyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Because no, it's absolutely ridiculous.
All those things more than, maybe not more because I don't believe in hierarchies, but just as much as any other state. The amount of poverty in West Virginia, the amount of like ecological poverty. There's something like 90% of West Virginia is owned by people who do not live in West Virginia. 90%, something like that. That is astonishing, you know, when you really consider it.
It is, it is. And it would be great if the people of West Virginia had a representative who ever once thought about them or cared about what
happened. Yeah, or cared about them at all. And they do not, and it is ultimately not their fault either, because it is just a pure coal takeover of that state. And yeah. You know, I would argue that Joe Manchin is 90% owned by not West Virginia as well.
That is true. We're actually going to get into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So bear in mind, he's now saying no. This one guy, this coal mine owner, gets to decide if the federal government deals with climate change, despite the fact that Democrats have already agreed to surrender their most prized spending proposals, from offering paid family and medical leave to providing childcare, free pre-kindergarten and tax benefits to low-income Americans. So all of those amazing things that we don't have, that the rest of the rational world has, they've already set fire to those because Manchin finds them unacceptable. The idea that you would give birth and then not get back to your goddamn job within 48 hours is unacceptable to him. So the Democrats sacrificed it. You'll get back into the mines, you peasant. They already did that. And even that wasn't enough. This one guy who represents one small, let's admit it, state gets to decide that no matter how many free gifts they shower onto him, no matter how many things that would help, no matter how many millions of Americans they set fire to, he still gets to kill the entire thing. And the worst he'll suffer for it is a maybe mildly critical article in the New York Times. Joe Biden is going to be very nice to him, and Chuck Schumer is going to be very nice to him, and there'll be no pressure put on him. They'll support him the next time he goes up for re-election. And he gets to do that. He gets to kill all of this. He gets to, let's keep it real, he gets to kill people. Because when you do not regulate these industries, when you allow climate change to barrel towards us unhindered in any way, he is not going to suffer. He's going to be in his Maserati or on his houseboat. Many of you will suffer and die. Your farms will no longer be able to produce crops. You will lose your home. That's what's going to happen to you. And he just gets to do that. And he gets to be ever wealthier along the way. It is a sick, corrupt system. And it is awful that we have barely any people in elected office who will even point out what it is that he's doing, let alone stop him.
I agree, John. All that man cares about is profit, and he has somehow managed to twist that into, you know, the sort of old guard. I'm you know, in opposition because that's what we do. That, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what he does.
Now I'm back. I went away. There you go. I stopped talking. But yeah.
No. Continue. I apologize. Continue.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's one of the good old boys, which that applies to women as well sometimes in the Senate. And yeah, I mean, just that image of him shouting down from his yacht, which, mm-hmm. you know, trying to round it down to houseboat as though he's like some hillbilly or something. Like, come on, man, we all know you're not a hillbilly. You absolutely are not a hillbilly driving a Maserati around. And when was the last time you set foot in West Virginia? That I would like to know. In the 100%. Real West Virginia, not like your condo or whatever that you own there.
Exactly. By the way, reminder. He has received more money from the fossil fuel industry in the past year than anyone else in Congress, almost twice as much as any Republican, $730,000, which is very nice for him. And why wouldn't they give him all of that money? Just by him, none of the Republicans are ever going to do anything to stop America from just being set on fire by climate change. So just by him, and they did it. They did it incredibly cheaply. $730,000 would be a lot of money to me. It might be a lot of money to you, to him. He's already a millionaire. He's going to raise millions and millions. It's barely even an investment. He has bought so easily. But much more importantly, the donations are bad. Is that why he's doing this? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe the fact that he has earned $5.2 million from his own coal company is bigger. Like, those donations are helpful, but that's not his money at the end of the day. No, he wants his money. And the fact that the bill might hinder his ability to despoil our environment, that's when it gets personal to him. And the fact that that is not every headline today, that he's killing the climate bill and he owns a goddamn coal mine, that is beyond idiocracy levels of corruption. Anyway, unfortunately, super last point. We only have a few seconds.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I used to say whenever there's like negotiations for major league ball players, I believe that we should always see how much that team makes And the same thing for every legislator that makes a headline. You should see how much money they earn from industries every time, not once, every time.
I like it. Okay, that's the end of our first run of our show. We got more to come though, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.